So understand the flow that is there. When God anoints you that second time, you begin to establish your ministry. I tell you, there are devils standing against you. There are a lot of people who are still fighting devils, principalities, powers, wicked spirits in high places, you know, in the heavenly places. And we're talking about spiritual kingdoms. There's one in Ephesians chapter 6 that dwell in the atmospheric heavens. And so they're fighting and battling demonic forces in prayer. Remember this. I'm going to emphasize this so that it's not misunderstood. God never gives you authority over human spirits. He only gives you authority over demon spirits. You cannot go to a human being and say you take authority over them. You cannot. You can only take authority over demon spirits. That's what the wrestling is in establishing the kingdom of God. When God calls you to be a pastor, know that once you have established your own innermost being, your second battle is with demon forces, my friend. Your second battle is to fight against principalities, powers, wicked rulers of darkness of this age, and wicked spirits in high places that will come against you from establishing your call in God. All the gates of hell will be turned loose against you. And I know what it's like when God calls you into the ministry. The wider your ministry is to be, the more you got to fight in the spiritual realm. I used to complain against God because I didn't have an easy life in the ministry. I cried a billion tears. When God first called me, you know, my parents didn't understand God's call. They wanted me, as usual, to go on to finish university and study and everything. But God had a call on my life. And when I wanted to go to seminary, my father, you know, was going to chase me out of the house. I cried. I wept. I remember going to the railway station with only a bag suitcase in my hand. And somehow God touched him and he sent me there. Praise God. And the thing that touched me was that every time he was the one who sent the little money order to me every month. I knew he loved me, although he didn't quite understand that call. And finally, the Lord brought him to the kingdom too. He had a vision of the Lord at the cross and came to know the Lord. That was not easy. Now, I remember that when because I got baptized in the Spirit when I was in seminary, without any more laying on hands on me, because I was fasting and seeking God, so hungry was I for God. And I remember in the early days, some of you may have heard of me. I was one of the most controversial guys ever. Now, I won't say I was completely innocent. Right? I make mistakes too. I possibly make lots of mistakes along the way. But there were a lot of things that were not fair. Things that I didn't do, they say I did. And one of the things that disturbed me was, God, why from the north to the south? You know, I was at home already. I was like a little black sheep because I didn't want to go the normal way. And then when I was in a seminary, they gave me a letter at the end of 3 years. They gave me a little letter that says, you know, you can't continue here because of extreme practices. I was caught laying hands, praying in a dormitory for another student who was having psychiatric problems. That was illegal. And I asked him, what extreme mean? It was underlined. I said, what was this extreme? You know, did I walk around the dorm praying in tongues? Did I, you know, create trouble anywhere? He said, no, you were laying hands. And you know me, I'm a scholar. I dug out all the old Baptist books and showed them that long ago they were laying on their hands. Still not good enough to prove it. But I protested against God. Say, God, why from north to south? When people hear my name, you know, that's, they say, this guy extreme. Extreme fellow. You know. And so went through those days, and then just because we were preaching the word of faith, because we discovered meditation in God's word, people class us with the faith movement. So when the Pentecostals went against the faith movement in the States, they also clashed us together, and we got the kick here too. Unfair, but we were just, you know, people love to just cluster you. You know, when you come in the battle, they say, okay, listen here. Say, Shibole. And if you say, Shibole, choop, your head gone. Because you couldn't pronounce it correctly. Right? You know the story in Judges. They were having their own civil war. And they guard a certain place at a fjord. And they say, Shibole. And they say, Shibole, choop. That was the only time in the Bible they cut your head off for mispronouncing a word. It's not just because we supposing, you know, you say praise the Lord, and you say Pentecostal. What's wrong with praising the Lord? Right? Even those who don't pray in tongues also say praise the Lord, you know. But anybody who praise the Lord is Pentecostal. So easily people classify you. And just because you use certain terms, you know, let's have a new way of thinking. New age. Just because you say, you know, let's think positively, let's think Bible way. Positive thinking. We are very fast to say shibole, shibole, you know. Takbole. So, very fast to cut off people's head. And listen very carefully, this was what the Lord told me. The Lord says, son, as I was crying before God, because I told God it was not fair. I didn't have a fair trial. Now today, I want to share positive. Today, God has restored, you know. I have a meeting with those friends and I say, well, this is what they say. They say that you did this. I say, well, where are the witnesses? So, in the end, they found that there were certain things I was accused of that was not true. Like, for example, do you say that? They said that I told people to throw out glasses. I say, where? Who? What? So, in the end, they found out it was not me. It was another preacher who went to the same place and preached, and he got all the people to throw glasses, and then I came in, not knowing what happened before that, and said, have faith in God. Just the next week after him, right? But when we finally had a fellowship and talked, they found out it was not me. But you know how long it took them to find out? 5 years. Wow. All the fire, what was it? And I had people wishing that I would just drop off and die off from the ministry and leave. Why? Because they consider that too extreme. But remember this. People may look all these things outside. They don't know what's going on in your heart. In my heart, I was crying and fasting. I said, God, I didn't ask to go to the ministry. I was successful. I was on my way up in life. I had no problems in my studies, oh God. I didn't ask for this. As I cried and I wept, the Lord said, son, if you want to reach out to the nation, you must first be persecuted around the whole nation. Right? So today I meet people on the streets. They say, are you Peter Tan? I say, well, I don't know you, but yes. Opposite. But remember this. People look today and say, how wonderful, you know, everywhere. Your ministry is growing everywhere. Remember, there is no blessing before the testing. So put on your boot camp boots. I remember. And remember this. If you are called to an international ministry, be prepared for international persecution first. Now a lot of you are changing your minds. Some of you start in the ministry, new fresh Bible school graduate. You go, hey, I'm called to be one of the national evangelists. Be prepared. Get national persecution first. From the top, north to the south, to the east, to the west of your nation, you'll be known. The other way around first. And until you can survive that, until you can survive that, you're tested, proven, and then nothing else but the Lord left in you. Everything in you died.
Why? Why died? They can't survive the kind of fire. Only the Lord has kept me on the right track. And the Lord told me this. And He says, at any time, to the extent that I call you to minister in, to that extent, you will have to suffer first. You have to suffer misunderstanding, suffer persecution, and then your ministry take root. Say, God, why me? Because there were others who were my peers. Some of my good friends, some of you, you know, Pastor Teo from Bahau. He's always the nice man. He started about the same time in ministry as me. But I was more infamous than him. While he was tending to the cows, I was being chased by the cows. And a lot of my peers in the ministry, they were not as misunderstood or persecuted as me. And I came to God and said, not fair. God just said, fair. Because you're called to carry a heavier burden. So you must be tested more. So my friends, if you're called, be prepared. And one of the things I remember, this Sabah revivalist came, and he was in the same seminary as I was. And those days, you're new to the voice of God, new to the things of God. And I remember it was in the third year, under a heavy anointing. In those days, we didn't understand it was an anointing, but he laid hands and prayed for me. And he spoke some things that were awesome. And when he laid his hands on me, he cried. And he said, you're going to be persecuted like you never persecuted before. But I understood after the third year, then the next year, I tell you, you know, if you had heard my name 10 years ago, you may not want me in your church. Too hot, too controversial. But it's not because I like to be controversial. I didn't make it up. People make up the stories. I was just preaching the word. But one thing for sure, God's grace sustained. God's grace sustained. And then I began to understand. Today, this is what I told God. I said, God, I know how difficult it is to start off in a ministry. So it's my heart to help younger ministries. We are helping them. Come and we say, God, you know, I want to make it easier for them. I have enough invitations on my desk to go all over the world nonstop for years. But I'm not going until God tells me to go. That's what I told God. You can promise me this, promise me that, promise the FF, promise it that. I'm not going until God tells me to go. So what I do is sometimes some of these invitations, I pass it on to my peers. And I say, you go. I write a blessing for you. Open doors for them. Make it easier for them. And I know what it's like because sometimes another minister is going through the same thing I went through. And I understood what it is. So I would sometimes, especially if I know what is right and what is wrong. The whole world seems to persecute them. The whole church world, I mean. Usually those unbelievers, non-Christians, they don't do those things. Oh my God, what am I saying tonight, Lord? Which is true. But it's the Christians. And so but if right is right, wrong is wrong. That's the type of person I am. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And so, only about a year or two ago, there was this guy who was just persecuted by the whole church world. But by that time, we were established enough to take any persecution.